I'm Craig Wilson.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod. It's Friday, 7 December 2012.
Welcome to the Talk Central podcast, brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On the Talk Central podcast this week, we talk about the three biggest technology stories of the week.
We also pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I just got your message to meet Mr. Mignana for my performance appraisal.
Oh, that was 2 weeks ago.
What?
Yeah, you were let go.
Oh, no, please. Oh.
Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get hosted Exchange from Vox Telecom, your off-site hosted email solution. Share calendars, contacts, task lists, and public folders, and archive all mail for half the price of an on-site server. Hosted Exchange from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965, and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Craig? How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. And you, Duncan?
Very good, thank you. Yeah, so finally, iTunes is here. iTunes is here.
After what, 9 years since launch, is it?
Since the launch in the United States, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of the service generally. It's been a long wait. I'm not sure that it's soon enough, though. I think we've got a lot of other options now. Have you fiddled with it very much?
I've played around with it a bit. I quite like it. I quite like the new iTunes 11. It didn't grab me initially, but I think Apple's done a good job of cleaning up the interface, which was getting a little hideous, to be honest, under the previous versions. It had become too complicated.
Yeah, it was getting cluttered. I actually I used to be a devout Winamp fan in my PC days, but I've been using iTunes sort of forced to for the last couple of years because of my Apple habits, and I think iTunes 11 is much better. Yeah, there's a lot of nice intuitive things when you sort of grab a track and start dragging it, the playlists pop out the side rather than being there all the time, and
it's a lot cleaner. But yeah, no, the iTunes Music Store is finally here, and glad to see that Apple's done a bit of work as well in getting some of the local artists on board.
Indeed, doubtless through all of the big labels. I see there aren't that many independents, but if they're bands that are signed to a major, they're generally there. Pricing is quite good too. $6.99 a track.
Mm. Oh, generally speaking, I think they vary a little bit, but generally speaking, it's around $7 a track, and what is it, about $70 $90
$70 to $100, depending on the album. Okay.
So it's kind of similar sort of pricing, if not slightly cheaper, than the Nokia Music Store.
Yeah, indeed. I think what I'm most excited about it is that we've got iTunes Match as well.
Yeah.
I haven't actually signed up yet, in part because my music library could do with a little bit of a spring clean and a bit of a tidy up. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a great service. For those of you who haven't used it or don't know, iTunes Match is Apple trying to get you to use more of their cloud services. The idea is it will have a look at your existing library, including music you've hopefully ripped legitimately from CDs or come to via other means. It'll look at your existing library and scan its own catalog and say, well, in the instances where it has the tracks itself, it'll just link to those ones, and where it doesn't, you can upload, I believe, as many as 25,000 songs for, you know, if you've got unusual locally ripped music that you can't get on iTunes.
No, iTunes Match is a great idea. Microsoft has something similar. Unfortunately, Google doesn't for their Play service, which I use.
Sure.
And I had to upload my entire 120 gigabyte music collection to Google, which took a while.
Yes, a couple of months probably.
It
did
take a couple of months on an ADSL 50 kilobit per second ADSL upline. It took at least 6 weeks. Yeah. But it's worthwhile once it was done. But iTunes Match a lot easier, since I guess most people's collections the majority of people's collections will be able to be matched by a cloud-based service like iTunes Match, so that you only have to upload a small portion of your music.
And of course, then the value is, you can stream it to any device or any iTunes
any
device.
Any Apple device.
Yes.
Although it must be said, the iTunes Store is not restricted to Apple devices. I've heard a few people commenting to me in this week what's the point if you're not an iPhone or an iPad user. I'm not an iPhone user, and I find it to be great because it downloads. I don't know if this was the case previously, but certainly in iTunes 11, when you purchase a song or an album, it downloads it into your Windows music folder if you're using a Windows PC, and it's automatically available to other music applications like the Microsoft's Zune Player and Xbox Music.
Fantastic.
And you can obviously also sync it then with your Android device or whatever other phone or media player you happen to use. So it's not restricted in that respect, but certainly the cloud, I guess, ties you into
the Apple ecosystem. Well, this is one of the key things too about iTunes' success was, you know, originally you had all of the nasty DRM and so on tracks that you downloaded, and they sensibly got rid of that because you know, I think that's it's going to put people off. At least here, you buy the track, you own it, and then you can do with it as you see fit and move it onto other devices and so on. And that's what consumers expect these days.
Yeah. So, the rumor is that some movies and television shows are coming as well. What have you heard, Craig?
Indeed, we've heard all sorts of titterings from different people. That we've heard before the end of the year. I've also heard early next year. There's definitely talk that movies and series are coming. They did release in some of the countries that were included in this batch of updates that we fell under, including Russia and Turkey, I believe, are getting movies. My understanding is that it has to do with licensing arrangements and the existing deals between content distributors like the movie companies, you know, New Metro and Stokinicor, and quite possibly Naspers, who, of course, owns DStv. And whether it's going to be a case of the deals being renegotiated or what the story is, there is also, of course, the argument that really how much demand is there for it, given how few fixed lines there are in service, and even then, given their speeds. But it's the sort of thing that you can bet they will be working on, because the demand will come in due course, even if it's not there now.
Yeah, and the competitors will come, so Apple has to be in that space.
Absolutely.
And the fact that it appears from Apple's announcement this week that the majority of countries that got music also got movies.
I'm not sure it was the majority. I saw a few listed. But,
okay. I thought it was the exception rather than the rule from the
statement. Right. No, my impression was that only a handful actually got movies. That about 50 got music, but only a handful got movies.
Okay.
I think the licensing is, you know, probably dealing with the labels is in many ways easier too, than when you have local content distributors for video content in each country. I imagine in some sense with the big labels, perhaps it's a little bit less complicated for music.
Okay, good. Well, at least we're making some progress on this front.
Yes, indeed.
The news that's just broken, in fact, just before we started recording this podcast, we got the story up a short while ago, was that Craig, retrenchments at Mixit, unfortunately.
And a substantial number of them at that.
Yeah, we're looking at, according to our sources, more than a quarter of Mixit's workforce may be retrenched as part of this process to cut costs.
Indeed, there are about 40 of the 150 staff, which is also got to be tough psychologically for the staff who stay behind.
Just, it's a bad time for going to Christmas, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
End of the year, holiday season. It's the last thing you want to be hearing, unfortunately.
Indeed.
And of course, it comes just a month or two after Alan Knock-Craig, who bought through World of Avatar, Mixit from Naspers and the founder Herman Hennes last year. He also stepped down after clashing with his fellow shareholders in World of Avatar. Particularly Paul Harris, a former First Round executive, he stepped down. I think it's been a bit of a wild ride for both Knock-Craig and for the Mixit crew generally over the last 18 months or so.
Indeed, and in the last month or two or three, have been in the headlines for not really the sort of reasons they'd like to be.
Yeah. But as a colleague of mine pointed out in an instant message about a bit earlier this afternoon, the old economy guys certainly don't mess around for long when they see their money's going down the drain.
No, indeed, indeed.
They're clearly the Paul Harris and GT Ferreira, both first-round executives and major shareholders in World of Avatar, moving quickly to protect their positions in this company. And we've seen Craig, you as well, also broke a story this afternoon about Boom.fm, another World of Avatar company founded by a chap called Peter Matei and Ruth, what was her name?
Ruth Harris
Has unfortunately also been closed down. What's happening there?
Indeed, that's actually, that's just been closed entirely. They posted a message on their blog today. Boom.fm was a music discovery service that got quite a lot of support, to my understanding, from local bands. I know a lot of guys who submitted their material for it. But it's been running since September last year, and as they said in the post on their blog today, announcing that they're shutting down at 5 o'clock on Monday, they said that they simply haven't been able to cover their operating expenses. They're just not turning a sufficient profit. And as you said, this is a case of the money putting its foot down and saying, no more throwing money down a hole.
Yeah.
It's sad to see. It was a good service. There is also, of course, a lot more competition in this sort of space since.
Yes.
I mean, there's no one. You know, there are a few people doing exactly what they were doing. There was quite a sort of social aspect to Boom FM, and it was about sharing music with other people. And they had an excellent. I mean, they were primarily they were almost entirely South African focused, and it was a great tool for finding your local music you perhaps might like but hadn't heard of.
But it's a small market.
It is a small market, indeed. It's a very small market and difficult, yeah. Difficult to make money off.
Anyway, we'll be keeping an eye on how these things develop. I'm sure there's going to be more news coming out of the world of Avatar stable over the weeks and months ahead as clearly the shareholders behind it move to flex their muscles and shake things up a bit. So watch this space. Our third story of the week, which we'd like to highlight, is Telkom's downgrade by Standard & Poor's. This is the second downgrade of Telkom in the last, basically in as many months. Moody's, another big rating service, downgraded Telkom recently. S&P has downgraded to one notch or one level above junk bond
status. Worry, yes. Yeah.
So that basically means it goes below investment grade rating. These things are important. These ratings companies are important.
Well, it makes it a lot more difficult to raise debt and so on, isn't it?
It doesn't always, but it can make it more difficult to raise debt, and it certainly can make it a lot more expensive to raise debt.
Sure.
So the higher your rating, the better. So it's a troubling for Telkom because they've obviously clearly got to raise a lot of debt over the next few years to build this network. Not only this MSAN broadband fixed line network that they're rolling up, but also
inevitably a fiber network too.
Also the continued investment they're going to have to make in their mobile division, ATA.
Right.
They need to be able to raise debt cheaply. Otherwise, it's going to either impact on their profit margins or it's going to force them to increase their prices. They don't really have the option of increasing their prices because they don't really operate in a monopoly environment anymore. So
no, and frankly, they don't really have the option to let ATA go because there's I forget, some industry insider said to me once, no fixed line service in its right mind anymore tries to operate without a mobile offering, because if you can't offer converged services, you really don't have an advantage anymore.
Yeah, which makes me laugh about all the speculation we've been reading in recent weeks about Telkom possibly selling ATA to another operator. It just ain't going to happen.
No, it just doesn't make sense. It just can't afford it. I mean, it absolutely has to keep ATA going and try and grow it into something. And
absolutely.
This is the only way to offer things that the other operators can't.
Anyway, poor Telkom. The share price has been flirting around the 15, upper 14 Rand levels.
Sure.
New multi-year highs. In fact, the lowest price, it's trading around the lowest levels it has ever traded at. One can only hope that the worst is going to be over for this company come next year.
Indeed, it must be particularly painful when you're seeing how many other local sort of tech and related companies are booming.
Yeah. Good, well, that takes care of the news this week. Moving swiftly along to our new feature, Winners and Losers of the Week. They're kind of interlinked this week. Craig, do you want to kick it off with the winner and I'll pick up the loser?
Sure, I think risking accusations of fanboydom, I'm willing to say Apple's the winner this week, or really South African music fans are the winners with the iTunes store coming to South Africa. It just makes us feel like we're on a level pegging with other markets, and it's just great to have the option. Moreover, it will hopefully force other people's hands, and more competition can only be good for consumers.
Indeed, and related to that, our loser of the week is Apple's biggest rival, Microsoft.
Wah, wah, wah. It just feels like a missed opportunity, doesn't it?
It does. You know, Microsoft has been talking for months about bringing Xbox Music to South Africa, and everyone was expecting them to beat Apple to the punch and get here first.
And to launch it alongside Windows 8.
And to launch it alongside Windows 8, which they
so well hand in hand. Look at the new OS, and with the new OS, here's this shiny, sparkly, wonderful new music service.
Yes. They didn't make that deadline, and I imagine that negotiating with these music companies is not easy.
Sure.
But to miss that deadline is to say that it's coming and then have Apple beat you.
Because it's difficult to make these negotiations, but it's also not like Microsoft doesn't have any clout. They get to go, look, we are on more computers than any other company in the world. We make Apple still look like something of a niche product when it comes to the number of corporates and so on who run our software.
Yeah.
It just feels like a real, real missed opportunity to also just get that sort of, I say first mover. Obviously, we've had Nokia for a while, but to get the jump.
Everyone forgets about Nokia.
Yeah, we've had the Nokia for store for quite some time, but to get the jump on Apple, it just feels like a squandered opportunity, really.
Yeah. Anyway, the Microsoft South Africa is promising the product will be here by the end of the year, although the latest whisperings are that they're going to miss that deadline too.
But in its defense, if it is good enough, people will move.
Yeah.
But it's just a real pity. Yeah?
For sure. I mean, I don't think this is really going to have that bigger impact. If you were going to use the Microsoft service, you're still going to use the Microsoft service. The fact that Apple got here, maybe got here a few weeks before the Microsoft service, probably won't influence you all that much. I, for one, use a Windows 8 PC, and I love the way that Xbox Music is integrated into the Metro interface, or whatever Microsoft calls it now.
Yes.
And so once, you know, once...
Modern design, I think it is.
it's impossible to remember. So once Xbox Music Service is available in South Africa, I will automatically become a subscriber to it, because sure. I've happened to use the Zune Music Pass in the past, and I loved it. It's just brilliant the way it just pulls in information from the web and just presents it to you. It really is done in a very rich, very clever way. So as soon as it launches here, I'm going to be subscribing to the Xbox Music Service. But that said, once again, in terms of PR, they've probably lost the game in terms of being able to come to market and say, hey, look at us, we're first, we beat Apple.
Yeah.
Instead,
yeah.
Apple's been able to come to market and say, well, we're first, even though they weren't really.
Indeed, and even though they're terribly, terribly late in their own right.
Yes. Indeed. Cool. Well, that deals with our winners and losers of the week, Craig. We're going to move on to our last feature of the week, and that is our pick of product or app of the week. We've both got apps again this week. Craig, why don't you kick it off with yours?
Sure. My app of the week is called 8Tracks. That's the number 8 and then the word tracks all squashed together.
With an X.
No X.
CKS. Oh, no. Good on them.
Yeah, just 8Tracks straight up. It's available for iOS. It's available for Android devices, and it's also available online. In fact, that's where I started using it, was on the web service. Just a little bit before the apps came out. And it's a music discovery service and a way to share mixes. What I like about it, though, is firstly, it gives you a couple of options to filter down to what sort of music you want to hear. This is obviously on the consumer end. And you can then play mixes. Generally, they're at least 30 minutes long or at least 8 tracks long, which is where the name comes from. But what I like is that they're all curated or put together by real people. At the same time, you can also upload your own mixes. I saw actually a couple of people we know in the industry doing so recently, and you can then share these out to people. It makes its money by offering a premium ads-free service, although the ads are very infrequent and not especially intrusive, and also by offering the ability to purchase the tracks or link to other promotional material to do with them. But the interface is very clean, especially on the iPhone. I use it in my car sometimes, and it's just great for randomly picking. You know, if you don't want to pick what music to listen to, it's a great way, and I've discovered some really, really nice new tracks through it.
It's a pity. It's the pity about it, I think, is that you can't download the music for listening in your car, for example. It has to be streamed.
And indeed, it does have to be streamed.
Streaming in your vehicle isn't great because, you know, as you move out of the 3G area into 2G area, the stream will stop.
Although around town...
And of course, it's expensive for the data consumption.
I've been using it a bit around town this week in my car, and it's been okay in the city, at least, where the coverage is good. But yes, I mostly use it at home for exactly that reason. Yeah. I mostly use it where I have Wi-Fi. Yeah. And then sometimes I don't even use the app. I use the web interface. But
and I suppose there'd be legal issues as well if they were to offer it as a download service.
Those are exactly the problems. Yeah, if you it changes the licensing agreement the moment you want to store the tracks.
Okay.
And yours, Duncan, what have you got for us?
Well, Craig, I've picked a new Vodacom app. It's called My Vodacom. Not particularly inspiringly named, but it's a cool little app. It's available for Android, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, and iOS. I think I've got all of them. It's a Vodacom app. It really lets you just check your account details. So it'll tell you how much data you've got left in your bundle, how many voice minutes you've got left, how much night owl data. Right. You've got left.
Can you make purchases and top-ups and things through it too?
Apparently you can, although I haven't been able to find the option in the app. I think you may only be able to do that if your bundle is depleted.
Right, or if you're a prepaid user.
Or possibly if you're a prepaid user, yeah. But I didn't see a top-up option in the version that I was, or the options that it was serving me. But it's a great little app. You know, you often want to just check how much airtime you have or what your data bundle is. And at the moment, you have to send some arcane USSD code to Vodacom to check what that balance is.
Sure.
So this makes it a lot easier. You just fire up the app and it'll give you a quick summary of all of your account balances, so it works really well. What it has shown me is that I'm spending far too much on my cellular account because I don't seem to use
the voice calls.
I don't seem to use either
minutes.
The voice calls or the bundle data that I'm currently subscribed to. So perhaps it's going to work a little against Vodacom in that it'll help customers see that they're spending money they don't need to.
Sure.
But it's a cool little app and well worth checking out if you are a Vodacom customer.
Fantastic.
Great. Well, Craig, I think that's all the time we have for this week. We're going to be doing our last podcast of the year next Friday before we take a couple of weeks break over the Christmas season. So look out for that. But as for this week, that's all the time we have for now. If you have any feedback on the show, as always, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za. And from Craig and myself, Duncan McLeod, until next time, take care. Cheers.